Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Now, do you have your own interest in the paranormal, or could it just have indeed been pitched to you as my cat story caught on camera? I mean, is this a genre that excited you?
Hey, that's a great idea. Can I hang up and go develop that right now?
Welcome to another installment of Paranormal Filler. I'm your host, Wes Forsyth. I'm the ghost hunter slash paranormal researcher slash old pseudo-psychic, whatever you want to call me. I'm over at ihuntghost.com. That's my homepage. You can check me out over there. While you're there, check my Twitter feed. I'm almost up to 1,500 followers. So I got that going for me. Of course, you know, 10 people read it. But tonight, let me get on with the show here. Tonight, my headphones are all screwed up tonight. You think somebody would spend this much money on recording equipment and broadcasting equipment would buy a decent set of headphones instead of the ones the dollar store had on sale? Well, anyway, I have Blaine Wilcutt coming in. Blaine is the tour guide over at the Morrison Lodge in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I've known Blaine for a while. I saw him just a couple weeks ago when I was there with Para Adventures. Blaine's coming in tonight. He's filling in. I had some rescheduling. I've got my scheduling on my just sort of straightened out, but I couldn't get anything done for tonight. I'll talk about that in a minute. It's just been a heck of a month. But Blaine did graciously offer to come on and talk about the Morrison Lodge and some of the... And me and him just love bitching about stuff in the paranormal field. But he'll be calling in here in just a couple minutes. If you're listening to me on the Blog Talk Radio Network, come over to liveparanormal.com. That's where our chat is. Of course, once Blaine gets on the air, anybody can phone in questions about the lodge. Don't forget, hey, look at my Facebook page, people. I want to get at least 200 people that follow me on Facebook. I mean, come on, I'm not that bad.
Nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I'm going to the garden to eat worms.
See, I'll check my calendar here. I don't really have nothing great coming up. Looks like let's see here. It's on that page. Don't forget the Inner Light Festival. That is May 11th and 12th. I've got a link to that. That's in Lexington, Kentucky. You can go to my website and find a link to and information on the Inner Light Festival. The Mystic Paranormal Fair is the following weekend. That's also in Lexington, Kentucky. That's May 18th and 19th. The Inner Light Festival comes up again in Florence, Kentucky. That's at the Hilton in Northern Kentucky. Let's see, the Mid-South Paranormal Convention, that'll be my next big thing. That's the one I'm pushing to hopefully get a comp table at. Hint, hint, live paranormal. But that is in Louisville, Kentucky, coming up August 2nd through the 4th. That is a really nice convention. I understand they've added some floor space this year, so that ought to be a really good one. Let's see if I got anything else here on the agenda. Oh, I will tell you, Bishop James Long, who we lost, we weren't able to get on last week, he is coming on next week. So that will be, what is it, May 5th? Yeah, May 5th. Bishop James Long will be coming on and talking about demons and demonology and exorcisms and all of the BS that you see on TV. Then May 12th, I've got Cradle to the Grave Paranormal Investigations. They have confirmed with me. I just haven't gotten back with them to give them the call-in information, but they should be here. And then that's all I've got on the calendar right now, I'm afraid. After what's happened the last month, I've been afraid to schedule more than 2 or 3 weeks out because nobody is answering their Twitter or their Facebook messages, and it's really beginning to bug me. But so back to tonight's show. Tonight's show, I have Blaine Wilcutt. He's with the Morrison Lodge. I'm going to go ahead and click his little button here and get him on the air. I've known Blaine for, gosh, Anita, what, about 3 years probably?
Been 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, something like that. Hey, Blaine, how you doing?
How you doing, Wes?
Oh, I'm here as always, and really enjoyed seeing you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I was kind of a surprise.
Are you still not smoking?
No, I haven't had a cigarette yet. So I'm
good
still doing good.
Good
28
boy.
Days.
God bless your little heart.
Yeah.
Well, that was my second time at the lodge. First time I did not get to investigate. Actually, I didn't realize how big the place was because I only got to see part of it the first time I was there.
Yeah.
And it's actually a nice big building with lots of nooks and crannies to stroll around in.
Yeah, we kind of like it. So.
Now, I think a lot of people... You know, it's interesting. Nobody talks about it, but it's something you pointed out when you gave the introduction tour for us. And they might have mentioned it when it was on Haunted Collector, but this building is the new incarnation as far as 1923 or 1913.
Yeah, it was 1913.
1913.
Yes, that we're on our 100-year anniversary on July the 15th for this building. Now, the foundation is the original foundation, but that was built in 1823, the original foundation, and the original building was built in 1823.
Are you still there, Blaine?
Yes, yes.
Blaine's cell phone just went.
I can hear you.
Okay, I should be live again. I'm really sorry about that. Blaine needs to try to call back in. I can call him in if I have to. Blog Talk just went down, people. It cut me off completely, and then it cut Blaine off about the same time. So that was really a lot of fun. Okay, here he comes. Let's get him back on the air. Come on. Come on.
Can you hear me now?
Blog Talk just went down, baby. It cut me off. It cut you off.
Yeah. It knew I was going to be here.
I've never heard my Skype make that noise. I Skype into the show. And so, you know, And so that way there's kind of like two different feeds going into it. And my Skype has, it made this sick little puppy dog noise, like, oh, hell, what was that? Anyway, before we got cut off, we were talking about that the original building was built in 1823.
Yes.
And then burned down in the early 1900s, and basically the new building...
Yeah, 1911 it burned down, and then it was rebuilt in 1913.
Yeah, and basically they just went through, and the new building is setting on the foundation for the most part of the old building, correct?
That is correct. That's correct, yeah, that's the original foundation.
Now, when I met you, Blaine, you were a fairly skeptical guy.
Yep. I'm a skeptical believer, let's put it that way. I've seen enough to change my mind.
I'm going to tell you, you don't sound nearly as skeptical when I talk to you as you used to.
No, I'll be honest with you, Wes. I've seen so much stuff here in the past few years that I'm no longer skeptical. I mean, I'm skeptical of some of the evidence that I see because, you know.
Oh, of course.
I'm kind of picky about the evidence that I take in, but then there are so many things out there that get faked and so many people want to doctor their stuff up. But that being said, I've seen enough stuff now to I don't have any doubt whatsoever that there's something that goes on after we leave this plane of existence. And, you know, the Lodge is one of those places that kind of puts that into perspective for you. I've seen enough there. I've heard enough there. Every team that I know of that goes in there, just, you know, they wind up with good evidence. As a matter of fact, some of the people that you were there with this past weekend, I've gotten emails. I just haven't had a chance to check them yet because I've been doing schoolwork. But I've got an inbox full of evidence that they've submitted to me to go through myself and listen to that, you know, try and verify. So, I was pretty happy. I didn't know that y'all had that much activity going on. And, you know, it's like I told y'all at the beginning, I pretty much leave a team that pays money to come in and investigate my building. I pretty much go ahead and leave you to your own devices. I'll hide up in the front office and let you have at it. I mean, I'm not the one to pay for it. You guys are. So.
I don't. Well, I tell you, I think in a normal investigation setting, it may not have been that impressive of a night, but because we had several people there, and despite not being extremely organized, because it was pretty much a free-for-all, we did all try to go to different parts of the building and cover the entire mm-hmm. building at one time. Now, of course, when you're dealing with audio, that's going to create a problem, because I don't know how good sound carries through the building. I can say that I never could hear, like if I was in the main auditorium, I could not hear what was going on even down in the cafeteria.
Right.
But I'm not gonna sit here and swear to anybody that it could not, you know, a voice recorder couldn't pick it up. But there, you know, I spend a lot of time just sitting in the dark getting the ambience, because when I'm on that type of investigation where I like game plans. I'm one of those guys, I like to go in and I like, you know, I like somebody to either want to be telling somebody what to do, or I want somebody to tell me what to do.
Exactly.
And if you just turn me loose in the dark, then I'll just go sit in a corner and see if my eyes will play tricks on me or not. Now, I enjoyed it because I got to play with my pseudo-psychic stuff that I know some of my listeners just absolutely love to hear me talk about. But I did grave douse the basement.
Yes.
And came up. Now, you told me that I came up with the same answer as the mediums had come up with.
Yes, all of them pointed that same corner, every last one of them.
Now, I will tell you, all but one. I'm going to tell you, I doubt she claimed to be a medium, but there was one lady in our group that, have you ever met someone with just enough sensitivity that they get kind of a bad attitude?
Yes. Yes.
When I went back downstairs with her group, when I doused, now I did not actually grave douse, I just did a little communication.
Uh-huh.
But when she was in the room with me, I got the exact opposite answers. And the reason, and I my theory on it is that some people even if they are, and I'm not saying she is or is not sensitive, one of the most talented, I'll call her a psychic. I know somebody that's, you know, really, really can, you know, pick up on things, you know, very well. But when she's around, everybody else's energy just goes to hell. And that includes the ghosts. And I think that may have been what was happening there, because I was creating one type of energy in the basement. You know, it's a bunch of metaphysical bullshit, as I like to say. But that was, I'm trying to decide whether that is an argument for dowsing or against, because like I said, every question I ask in the second session, I got the opposite answer. And the reason I say that might be pro-dowsing is because that takes out that little thing where you know what the answer is supposed to be in your body. You know, you're creating your own answers. If I was creating
right.
them, I would have been glad to create the same ones I got before and kept everything simple. But
exactly.
But I did enjoy that. And then you also told me one of my experiences that I had in the, what do you call that little room in behind the auditorium that's curtained off?
It's just an ante room, you know.
Well, when I was in there, I never felt like I was alone. Now, I can't say that I saw anything. I would, you know, because it was pitch dark in there. But that room, to me, had more of a feeling about it than any place in the building.
Well, you know, so many people have mentioned that, because they'll sit, and you know, you get pareidolia. I mean, we all know about pareidolia and how your eyes can play tricks on you, especially when it's dark. But we've had plenty of people, you know, sitting there. They'll sit up there where the chairs were on the opposite end of the room, and they can swear that they see somebody, you know, just poking their head around the curtain for just a second and then go back, you know, and that's happened quite a few times. I do know that sometimes during the meetings, I had this happen the last meeting we had at the lodge. Because it, you know, I know I told you guys that this is an active lodge. We still have meetings there, and this would have been the Thursday before you guys had come in. One of the gentlemen was sitting inside that area so he could watch the degree work that was going on that night, and he kept having somebody tugging at his suspenders all night long. And you know, he, of course, most everybody, you know, is a member there. We know what goes on, and so it doesn't really bother us anymore. You know, it's happened to just about every one of us. So, but that area there is always somebody, always feeling somebody tugging on you or pulling on your shirt or, you know, whatever. So, it doesn't surprise me that you felt like you had somebody standing there with you, because that's usually where we figure it's Abby that's hanging out in there, if that's what her name is, but I'm pretty sure it is. But either her or one of the brothers is up there hanging around. So, you know, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell, but that place is. That one area is always a hotspot for folks.
Now I have not even reviewed my audio, which I didn't record a lot that night, because most time when I was there, someone else was doing something, and so I just wanted to be quiet, and I figured an extra beep in the background would not help their evidence collection. But I did do a session out just really dead center of the auditorium, and I'm looking forward to going through that. But first let's start with, I guess, what's really the most famous haunt of the place, and that's the little girl they call Abby.
Yes. We're not exactly sure what the real story is behind Abby. A lot of this is a lot of this is conjecture. So, you know, I don't want anybody to think that we're, you know, basing this on all historical fact, because, you know, it's like I told everybody, this is just a speculation, and some of the things have been told to us through mediums and through fragmentary records there at the building. Because a lot of those records from that building, not just from the lodge, but from the building itself, when it was used as a school, they were lost when the downtown area caught on fire. So a lot of those records were lost. So we're having to rely on fragmentary stuff. But anyway, the idea is that Abby, we figure her to be between the ages of 5 and 7 years old. And we really think that her father was not a very nice man, let's put it that way. and that he had his way with her a few times, and eventually it got a little bit too rough, I guess, and he wound up killing her. And we believe that she's been buried in the building, you know, underneath. That being said, you know, we don't have any proof of that, and needless to say, we've got a concrete floor there that's pretty thick. We're not going to dig up the floor just to try and find out. You know, if we find someone who's got ground-penetrating radar and wants to come out and do it for us for free, then we'd be more than happy to have them come in, but not something we can afford on our budget. But Abby does hang out in the building quite a bit. A lot of people have had experiences with her upstairs in the balcony. You know, she plays with her toys. We've got, I'm sure you've seen the video that I posted online of the doll flying off of the balcony there. Now that you've been there and had a chance to look at it, you can see why I said, you know, I don't think that static discharge did that, or a truck passing down the road.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing about it. I did not know how sturdy all that was, and I got up there, and I'm going to tell you, just, it's solid up there. There's no,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't creak or anything when you walk on it. I don't see how that can pick up enough vibration to have made that. What he's talking about, people, he showed me a video. I guess you put it on Facebook, didn't you?
Actually, I think it's on Facebook. I've got it posted on my site. And actually, you can go onto YouTube and look for the St. Matthew's Paranormal and Troy Truth Seekers. That was their video, actually. I use it with permission. And
okay, here we go again.
Are you there?
I can hear you, Blaine. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. That was apparently just a short-lived problem. Anyway, the video, for those who haven't seen it, is basically they've got almost an altar for this little girl.
Yep, lost you.
Okay, this is starting to piss me off. Blaine, you still there?
Yes, I am.
God. Oh, man. Anyway, as I was saying, the video is of a bunch of trigger objects, toys, placed on a balcony railing, which is wide. It's not small. It's like probably a foot and a half deep. And one of the objects comes off of it with a fairly good amount of force. It doesn't fly across the room. I don't want to say that. But it does flip off of the thing. And my first question was, you know, well, I'd have to see how well they're setting up there, you know, could a vibration have done it? And I can tell you, I cannot imagine that building. You can hear trucks when they go by, and certain parts of the building, I'm sure you can feel a vibration. But up there, I was up there quite a bit, and you cannot get any vibration off that. And whoever came up with the idea that the ceiling fans could have blown it off was just totally reaching.
those are a little far away.
is it the end all be all of paranormal proof? Obviously not. But
it is
one of those things that makes you say, hey, you know, there is something. Looks like there's something going on here.
And, you know, the thing is, that same night we had a few other things happen, you know, that the room adjacent to that, you know, where I showed you guys the door that kept coming open you know, it would unlock itself and open and then close. And, I would get up there and shut it. And I had people up there with me when I would lock and shut that thing and go away, come back 15 minutes later and stand it wide open. So it was just hot that night. It was just one of those, it was a good night for us, you know. And the guys got their money worth that night. So, and I know that they got quite a few EVPs out of the place. But Abby is just, I don't know if that was her playing with that doll or if it was somebody else. I mean, I've got some ideas that it might be, you know, some members that have recently passed away. I'm not sure. I do know that, up there on that balcony, directly behind where the little shrine that we have set up to Abby is at, was the projection room. And you remember seeing that with the two big glass doors?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told you guys the story. There's a gentleman that he had already done some time in Iraq and Afghanistan in the Gulf War and, you know, things like that. And pretty tough guy, you know, seen some nasty things. He was up there doing some work on the plaster and everything. He was repainting the building. And he looked inside. He had his daughter with him. She was downstairs in the auditorium area in the secretary, sitting at the secretary's desk doing her homework. And he looked up and he thought he saw her standing inside the glass. He said, "I thought I told you to stay downstairs." And she said, "Daddy, I am downstairs." So when he looked back at the glass, here's this, the face of that little girl that he saw is now missing. So he doesn't come back around. That was the last time he's been in the building. So.
One thing we did, of course, you know how I love playing with my dowsing rods.
Yes, sir.
I showed a couple of the ladies that were there with the group the game we normally play with children. Now, Abby actually showed, talking to her, as best as we know who we're talking to, she seemed to have very little interest in the game, oddly enough. But we felt like we connected to a woman, did not pin down who she was, whether she was a lodge member's wife or that was watching him or maybe when it was a school, you know, something associated with that. But she played the game with us. And for my listeners who haven't heard me talk about it, basically we asked the ghost to play this game where if the rods go left, we will walk left. If they go right, we will walk right. If they cross, we will stop. If they flare out, we will turn all the way around. And one of the ladies with the group said she'd try it. And this thing took her on an adventure. I was watching the rods, and, I mean, it was anticipating every curve of the building. Now, normally, you'll get a few people, every now and then you'll get a bad cross, you know, or it'll let you walk into a wall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It just did not happen. I mean, it took her up the stairs, walked her in front of the booth, and then when we got in front of the booth, it just kept turning her around like it wanted us right there.
Huh.
And then it did it. Then so finally, we talked it into letting us go downstairs, and it led her back downstairs and took her to that little room I was talking about behind the main auditorium, and did the same thing. Walked her back and forth in that room, like there. And I think sometimes, based on my experience at the Ross Opera House here locally, I think sometimes that is one ghost way of saying, "Hey, this is where you want to be. You know, we know why you're here. This is where shit happens." And and so, you know, sometimes every now and then you get a helpful one.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, it's like, well, here, look, if you want to talk to somebody, if you really want to see something, hang out here for a while, you know, or hang out here for a while. I mean, yeah. And that's, you know, I don't know if it's because there's because of the architecture of the building or because the way that the electric runs through, they're able to feed off some energy or something or whatever. You know, maybe it makes it easier for them to go ahead and communicate and manifest that way. I don't know, you know.
The more I'm in this field, the less I'm paying attention to energy, man-made energy fields. I cannot find any strong correlation between, you know, and then people will pull out their EMF pumps, and, you know, sometimes it seems to have an effect and sometimes it doesn't. I can't find enough consistency there. So I don't usually look for that as much as I think that ghosts just find a place that they like to be, and and that's, and you know, and that's just where they are.
Well, I was going to say they are where they are, you know. And you know, I really believe, you know, with some of what we have there, I know that there are a couple ladies there, and when we were talking, I think you had gotten there already, but they were just setting up and were goofing off a little bit, you know, getting their stuff ready. And they actually got some, they were using a hack shack, and I'm not a big fan of the hack shack or the obelisk and stuff. I think we've talked about that quite a bit. And, you know, 'cause there's just too much of a chance for stuff to come across there that's going to wind up being radio station or whatever. I just don't think it happens as much as people would like to think. But they did get a name that came through there. It was John Henry. And the thing is that library room downstairs, it's named for a gentleman by the name of John Henry Hark. So, you know, and that's where they were at when they got that name. And they didn't know it because, you know, his name's not up on the wall or anything like that. It's just, you know, that's what we call it. So, and John was I knew John Hart when I was a kid. He was there. I mean, he passed away a few years ago, but he was very dedicated to the lodge. He spent a lot of his time, a lot of energy, and a lot of money there. And he was one of those gentlemen that the lodge was everything to him. So I really think that some people find a place that they enjoyed in life and they just want to go back, you know, and hang out there. That's what they got the most pleasure in life out of, and that's where they want to hang out. And I think that's the case with some of this here.
Another thing I wonder, because some locations seem to, I guess you'd say, attract more than their fair share. And I wonder, almost to the point of worrying about it, if our interest in the paranormal, if our investigating, if our talking to walls, if our, you know, bringing out the shack hack and all this stuff, isn't giving them that much more of a reason to stick around or to even just to congregate in one place. And I mean, you know, that's, in other words, in a way, I'm almost wondering if we're almost doing a disservice to the deceased in what we're doing, despite, you know, having good intentions.
And you know, I guess it all comes down to, you know, because I don't know anybody personally, you know, that's gone to the other side, had a conversation, come back, you know, and, you know, say, well, hey, this is how this works, and this is how they're able to do that. If that person exists, I'd love to talk to them. I think what happens is that, like I said, you know, somebody finds a place that's comfortable to them. Now, as far as maybe we're keeping them here or tracking them to the point where they're unable to go, I don't know. Since we don't know exactly what goes on the next plane of existence, maybe they do have a reason for showing up and hanging out. You know, maybe they're here to, you know, let us know that, you know, you do go from one side to the other, and but that there's an opportunity for you to come back through to visit, so you don't have to worry about it so much or be so scared of death. But as far as thinking that we keep people, you know, and do them a disservice, I don't know if I can go as far as calling it a disservice, unless there's somebody that's just, you know, I don't think I've heard of anybody in this field that, you know, tries to drag somebody in and keep them here. More often it's like, hey, can you talk to me? If you can't talk to me, that's fine, I understand. You know, but I don't think we're keeping them here on our
I don't mean it as an intentional thing, and it's not even something, because I'm still out there in the field, so don't anybody think that I'm saying nobody should ghost hunt but me. No.
Yeah.
No, but it's one of those things that bounces through my mind that when I do my pseudo psychic bullshit, the lodge comes to mind because there seemed to be, from both from what's been collected, the reports that you've given me, from what I experienced there, there just seemed to be a lot of, let's say it, a lot of dead bodies wandering the building. And I don't consider that a natural progression of the way things are supposed to work. And
exactly.
So that's why I bring, that's the only reason I even bring that up. I'm trying to stay away from, you know, talk of Armageddon and all that stuff, but the thought crosses my mind.
Well, you know, part of it, I think, that happens, you know, with us at least, you know, it's kind of like the deal with Waverly. You know, Waverly's a big place. A lot of people passed away there. And the same, you know, but the lodge, a lot of people don't realize it, but the building was used, it was used as a hospital during the Civil War, the original building was. It was used as both a field hospital, the basement area where the, you know, where you did your dowsing session. It was used as a morgue. And the area that's actually used by the lodge upstairs now was a holding area for, you know, prisoners of war. So, you know, there was probably some really nasty stuff happening to some of these people. And you wonder if there's a really terrible, terrible, ugly death that happened. And because a lot of the people that were, you know, if you looked at some of the pictures we had of our past masters on the wall there, you know, in the lodge, a lot of those gentlemen were, you know, Union and Confederate soldiers. And so, you know, masonry has been around for quite a while. And a lot of these people were members of that lodge. So maybe it was a good thing that they passed away somewhere like that, you know. But, you know, you got guys that were mortally wounded and suffered and died inside that building. So it just makes you wonder whether or not they pass away and don't realize that they're dead, or you know, they're afraid to go on because of some of the things that they've done. You know, we've discussed theories like that before, but I really think a lot of it has to do with the fact that was used as an overflow hospital during that during the Battle of Elizabethtown.
Now, from the reports that you get, I realize most of this, I guess, would have to come from the sensitives and mediums, because it's really hard to tell from an EVP most of the time who you're actually talking to. How much of the activity would you say is I realize this is not scientific, this is a wild guess, but is attributed to pre-1913. In other words, when it was the Civil War hospital. Are they old ghosts or young ghosts, for lack of a better word?
Well, you know, that's hard to say, Wes. I've never really given it that much thought. I guess because we have got one resident spirit that pops in on occasion and likes to make himself known, who is quite the misogynist and sexist, and the way that he feels about women, because he likes to push women around and stuff. So that sounds like something that's, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s. I would say at least that individual, if nobody else. I think most of the others, honestly, are from afterwards. I do know that, you know, we did have the three confirmed deaths that we know of in the building. So I think the biggest portion of them would be after the 1913, if you want to know the truth. I mean, even when the of course, the school building, Abby, she would have been back in the first building anyhow. So, you know, if we have 10 in there, that's a fifth of them. So, you know, I'd say about 25% was probably, you know.
Okay, you know, no, actually, you know, that's all I was
wondering. Here.
With the contact that I allegedly made, notice I always throw those little disclaimers in there. I think really I only hit on one thing that gave me the indication that it was old time. Everything else seemed fairly modern. Because we hit on one woman that claimed to have to be there because of the doctor's office. But now that's another thing we've discussed on the show is I wonder sometimes, because the lodge is a perfect example. Okay, you know that you've had two deaths that occurred in the building that had nothing really to do with the lodge itself. That happened in a dentist office and a doctor's office when they rented out rooms downstairs. And
right.
It seems to me that sometimes we encounter ghosts that adopt the stories that people are looking for.
Yeah, that's my idea.
You know, they if a I don't guess it would even have to be a female ghost, but if a ghost came in that wasn't happy with their life, and somebody was asking, I want to talk to the woman that died in the doctor's office, and they say, oh, hey, I'll raise my hand. And
that's me.
So I bet now that you're doing the tours there, I bet you get to hear all kinds of bullshit theories like that.
I get to hear all kinds of stuff, buddy. and you know, I don't discount any of them. You know, I've learned to keep my mouth shut most of the time. Everybody's got their own way of thinking, and you know, I let them just go ahead and try and find what they can in there. You know, most of them, you know, most everybody agrees. You know, they have a good time while they're there. You know, you get plenty of bang for your buck, so to speak. Because it's not that expensive. I think one of the things that everybody, you know, appreciates the fact that none of the members of the lodge or, you know, myself or, you know, Jeff or any of us, we don't pocket any of that money. It all goes straight into the preservation of the building. So that's the cool thing about it, you know. And we're just trying to keep that building alive. You know, like I said, we are an active lodge, and we do like to try and, you know, try and keep the lights on and stuff. So, and that's basically all the cost is, you know, when you figure in that big of a building, you know, we've got water and electric and gas, you know, for a night, that's about half of what, you know, people pay for it for the night. Yeah. And then the rest of it is, you know, pays for some toilet paper and maybe a cup of coffee for whoever's hanging out there. But the rest of it goes into the coffers for us. So,
now, while we're plugging the place, now what is the cost to do an overnight investigation, or do you have different levels?
Right now, and we're $250. And normally, what I do is I will let a team come in there. We normally let them have it from about 8 p.m. until 3 a.m. If somebody wants a little bit longer time, it depends. I mean, you know, if the place is really hopping, I'll let somebody stick around a lot longer. I've had some teams come in at 6, you know, because they need to get their stuff put away or whatever. And I can work that out with everybody. You know, I might ask for a couple more dollars or something like that. But when you look at, you know, you can get 15, 20 people in there. I mean, your group that you went with, it was a big group. You had about 20 folks in there. But, it comes out to about, what, $10, $15 a person when you pay that $250. You know, so that's really, really cheap. So you can't beat it, you know. But it is normally about $250 unless you want to rent both buildings, which means that you rent the Shrine Temple behind us. Then it's another $150 to do it, too. So, our building is $250. Both buildings is $400.
Okay. That's perfectly reasonable, and the place drips with history. When you walk up to it from the outside, even though it is I guess we can call it a modern building because it was built after the turn of the last century, but
right.
It is still, I mean, the architecture is just fantastic. I mean, when you go into the building, I mean, the walls talk to you. I mean, it's,
yes.
You walk through there, and some of the old stuff, I mean, hell, your computer was probably the most modern thing I saw in the whole building, that and a coffee maker.
Yeah, that's about true, too. You know, even our plumbing is, you know, it moans and groans, too. So, you know, we just bought this past fall, we got heating and air in there, modern heating and air. We were using a 30-year-old AC system, and for heat we were actually still using the boiler system that was down there in that basement. So those radiators that you saw throughout the building were operational up until about 6 months ago.
I didn't know they weren't still in operation, to be honest with you.
No, we turned them suckers off. You know, it was getting a little expensive. It was costing us an arm and a leg to heat that place in the, you know, during the winter months. There's some donations and everything. We spent about $30,000 for a heating and air system inside there. So our next project now is we need to put a new roof on it. We need to put a new roof on the building, and that's going to cost us a little bit because in order to stay on the historical register, we had to put it back with original material. which means we're going to have to put steel back up on there and finding a contractor that's going to be willing to do it. It's not going to be a cheap undertaking. So we've got quite a bit that we still want to get done to it. So anybody out there that wants to come see us, you know, you can find me on Facebook or, you know, I'll give you the website before I leave tonight. And you can give me a holler, shoot me an email. We'll get you scheduled up. Come on in and help us keep this place alive.
Yeah, like I said, I'm wanting to go back in a more controlled environment. Of course, first time I went there, Past of Kentucky had their Halloween, ghost hunting seminars. And so yeah. I didn't really get to see the entire building. And this time, of course, if it was a different situation because this was not a true ghost hunt per se. This was a bunch of people getting together on a to explore a business venture. So, but the one fault I have with the whole evening was because allegedly we all knew what we were doing, she just turned us loose.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's just not how I like to operate. I'm the guy, you know, even though I'm a tech charge kind of guy, I'm perfectly happy if somebody says, hey, take this digital recorder, go sit in the corner and shut your damn mouth.
Yeah. that's what I just did. I just went ahead and turned off my recorder and sat in the office and shut my mouth. So.
Yeah. But, now, it was interesting.
Go ahead.
No, actually, go ahead. You're more interesting than I am.
No, I think it was a good deal for you guys, too. I mean, I know it was a training session for, Beth and the Paradventures team, and I think that we'll see how that works out for you guys with that, too. You had mentioned the Halloween thing. We do plan on trying to do another boot camp again this year. We just haven't had a chance to do a lot of the planning phases. You know, my wife and I are still in school. She'll be returning in the fall to her classes and plus some over the summer, and I'm working part time and going to school full time until, you know, I graduate here in about 2 weeks. Then I'll have a little bit of time to work on it over the summer, but then in the fall we're going right back to the school stuff. So we do plan on trying to do it in October. And so there's your official invitation. Come out and talk again. We talked about that last year. But we're going to try and get the same group of guys out there that we had last year. You know, if I can get Paul and Chad and Stan and everything, we'll try and do it. But since I have the keys to the building, we'll do it at the lodge this time around instead of the Shrine Temple. Try and get a couple different buildings, and maybe we'll get a few more people out there. And, give everybody else a chance to come out. And it'll be about the same cost as it was last time, $25, $30 a person. So it'll be a good deal all the way around then, too. So, I mean, you'll get the classes plus the investigation for what you would normally pay just to investigate there. So it'll be a good deal all the way around.
Well, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it because that night you took us in the History Museum, another place seen on a famous television show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other shrine, the church next door, although you all, there have been reports of activity. You know, I've never talked to anybody that investigated over there that was overly impressed. I'm sure where you get to see everybody, you know, everything that comes out of there. You've probably seen more or heard more. But, I mean, it was a nice building, don't get me wrong. Also,
yeah, we've had
history.
Yeah, we've had a few, few incidents here and there. And, I think, honestly, you know, because where the lodge is situated and because of its role during the Battle of Elizabethtown, I really think a lot of times what we have is we might have some that are earthbound or, you know, some people like to call them earthbound spirits or whatever that are rather transient, you know, and just kind of make their, you know, wander their way around town down there because, you know, you've got the old courthouse downtown, the old theater down there, the old opera house. They make their way over to the Brown Pusey house, and the lodge and the history museum, and all those areas were, you know, pretty active during that Civil War period. So, you know, maybe that's what it is. I don't know if it's, you know, maybe we'll come up with a Honda Elizabethtown someday, and we can make that one happen.
What I do know, that was the impression we got when we went on the hunt with. Last fall, where we got to go through all the buildings except the lodge, that was we got the impression a lot of what we were encountering was just what you said, transient. They weren't necessarily tied to any one building. It was almost, especially when we got downtown, we felt like they were just like walking in on us. I had a perfectly good question, and I forgot what it was. I know what it was. Of course, now, when I was did your all's event, I did my little dousing thing. And the other member that was there with you, his name's Jeff, correct? Do I remember that correctly?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He seemed fairly impressed with my innovative dousing methods.
Yes, actually, he was. Jeff doesn't leave any, you know, Jeff is very skeptical, all right? But he's open-minded enough to where if you've got something to bring to the table like that, and if it works for you, he's more than happy to sit down and take a look at it, you know, and you know, use it as another tool. Because, you know, he's like I am, you know, we all agree that nobody has all the answers to any of this, you know. And sometimes, you know, it takes the unorthodox methods to get the results that you want. So I can't say that dowsing doesn't work. I found out that I can, you know, that I'm a water witch. I found this out a couple of years ago at a history convention in Elizabethtown. I wound up working with my wife and a couple other members of our group, went out and started doing cemetery readings and finding graves from cemeteries that hadn't been read in 30, 40, 50 years, so we could reread them to put them on the registers at the Historical Society. So I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works. All I know is that it works for me. So, you know, I'm not going to say that it doesn't work for communication purposes. It's, you know, it makes total sense. And, you know, when you think about it, if we're talking about people that were from the, you know, from Civil War period or, you know, earlier than that even, if you've got an individual that they knew that you could douse to find water, or you can douse to find natural gas, or douse to find oil, or whatever, they'd probably believe that and be more willing to come up and speak to somebody or try and help you manipulate those dowsing rods than they would a piece of electronic equipment, because it's foreign to them.
Good point. Good point. Now did Paul Browning, for the listeners, he's so far to the other side of the spectrum from where I'm more into the metaphysical now. I'm quite sure during my presentation that his eyes rolled back in his head a couple times, although he admitted that I made some good points. Now, did he get any results on his equipment that he brought down that night?
I haven't heard, to be honest with you. You know, Paul's been a busy, busy guy. You know, he's been working really hard on his RVPR and refining it, and a couple other pieces of equipment that he's working with David Roundtree on. I did have an opportunity to go back in February. I was supposed to go with him to Walking Horse Hotel down in Tennessee, but I had to back out because of medical reasons. And I would have loved that myself, because I really like working with Paul. He's down to earth. He's got some neat ideas. Anybody out there that hasn't found his book, Thinking Outside the Box, I highly recommend finding it. Just look up Paul Browning. I think it's paulbrowning.net if you want to know the truth, but look him up on Google, and you may be able to download a PDF form of his book, Thinking Outside the Box. It's got some really, really good basic ideas in it, things that you just don't think of, you know, like the little signs that he came up with and the ideas of going in hot. But I know he's also, according to his Facebook post anyway, he's been building a proton pack for the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
You know, I don't know if he's giving up the ghost hunting to go to ghost busting now or what, but he's still around, though. I don't know if he got anything out of there. We had, you know, when we went to the one building downtown that night, you know, there were people inside there, you know, drinking and partying and everything else. It just got loud, and I think after that, everybody started getting tired, you know, because it was a long day. So I haven't had a chance, honestly, to listen to any of it.
I was curious because he had a fairly good, when we was in the History Museum, he had a little better chance in there, a better controlled situation. And I was kind of hoping that he would get some results in there. But now, what's the story? We went in the one place, the ice cream parlor. What's the story on that building? We followed you all in. We never did know what the hell we were doing there.
Oh yeah, that was the bakery. That's the one that had the people still in there drinking. that is Sugar Fashion Cakes, and we went in there. It was kind of a last minute deal. We were trying to get another building, and we were unable to get it. So we've had team members and members from another group had investigated there. They'd had. They've heard some voices inside the place and had a few things move around on them, so we just kind of threw that one in on it. So I've never done a full-out investigation of the place, so I wouldn't be able to tell you if there were any, you know, any valid claims inside there at all. That building is not that old. I mean, it's been around since probably the 1930s, you know, so it's not even 100 years old yet, so... And honestly, at one time there was a garage there. I know that, an automotive garage. And then they used it as a feed store for a while. So I don't know what else it had been used for other than that.
Now, I think someone told us that originally the building was originally built as the where they made the local. It was a local Coca-Cola bottler.
I don't think it was in that building. Actually, I think I think the original Coca-Cola bottling was down on the corner, if I'm not mistaken. I might be. I don't know. Now the old Coca-Cola stuff is that they used to have there in town is actually down there in the basement of the History Museum. They turned that over into a part of the History Museum there in town. So that I know the first time I went in there after they did that, I was in the place by myself. It was actually the night that we were doing the boot camp, and I went down there to go unlock the doors and everything. I went down the basement. I wasn't expecting to see a mannequin standing there inside that room, so when I turned on the lights, here's this mannequin standing looking at me in the face. About dropped everything and ran up the stairs because I didn't expect to see somebody standing there pointing at me. So that's that's one of those events where it was dude run, you know. So.
Yeah. We've all had their moments. The local opera house has a mannequin that I think they bring it out for Halloween. And one year we were there fairly close to Halloween, and they even warned us about it. They said, "Now watch out when you." And I forgot about it, and I walked in on that thing, and it's like, and you have that little moment where your every orifice of your body gets really, really tight.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that happens quite often.
Well, let's finish plugging the place. Okay, now what's the actual web address that people can go to for more information?
Okay, they can go to morrisonmasoniclodge.yolasite.com. That's morrisonmasoniclodge.yolasite.com. Or they can find me on Facebook. It's Morrison Masonic Lodge on Facebook. Or... if they want to send me an email, they can send it to me at info.morrisonlodge@yahoo.com, and I'd be more than happy to send them all the information that they want.
Well, like I said, it is. I am going to call it a highly recommended. I'm going to try to get back with a more. I'm not going to say serious group because we had serious people there that night, but I do want to go get back there with a more controlled group and actually do a little more, a little investigation. Although I've lost that fire in my belly, but I really do want to have a little more clarity going in and be able to spend time where I want to without having to worry about contamination and stuff. So I will be back in touch with you. Now, are y'all going to be set up at the Mid-South this year?
I don't know. I'm going to try and be there. I've got to get with Keith and them and set up a vendor table. Now they're not doing the ghost hunts at the lodge this year. They're doing the ghost hunts in Bardstown at the old Wycliffe house. So, but I probably will show up to Mid-South anyway. So you'll definitely see me there, and I think that's what the first weekend in August, I believe.
Yeah. So if I don't run you down before then, I'll definitely see you there. I want to thank you for coming on, Blaine, and That was Blaine Wilcutt from the Morrison Lodge, and this has been Paranormal Filler. I'm going to go ahead. I had some extra time tonight I could have used. They didn't have anything scheduled after me, so I ran a few minutes longer than I normally do, but I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. I was trying to make up for the audio problems we had. Blog Talk just completely hung up the phone on me twice tonight, which was very pleasant. But thanks for tuning in. Once again, Morrison Lodge, he listened to the show, and I'll put those links up on the website when I post the archive. You've been listening to Paranormal Filler. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope to see you next week.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi. LP Web Design, 100% custom websites, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit LiveParanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars. Want to advertise with Live Paranormal Radio? Please contact us at liveparanormal.com.